RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
I've said here on this program that we're going to keep an eye on the Hawke's Bay post-Cyclone Gabrielle. For many, it was ages ago. They don't think about it much. But for many residents in the areas affected, it's still right in their face. Now, at the end of November last year, I talked with Jessica Maxwell, if you remember, Havelock North resident, and we were talking about the council's negligence of local dams and streams and the impact after the cyclone hit. Jessica is back with us. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Oh, hello, Paul. Thanks very much for having me back.
You've been busy.
Yes, I have. For the last 15 months, since the cyclone and since both councils denied that negligence played a part in the flooding or the erosion, I carried out a pretty extensive investigation, which I was helped by with other members of the community who gave me historic information, historic articles, and photographs. And then I got a lot of old council meetings and documentation through the Local Government Official Information Act requests, and really a very full picture of neglect and incompetence and inaction on the part of both the Hastings District Council and the Hawke's Bay Regional Council have become apparent.
Yeah, I can see. So let's go through a few things first. I have some documents or some files in front of me, which look like a sort of progressive set of, I guess, information releases containing photographs, etc. I believe these were distributed. You'll tell us how. So maybe we can go through those and then we can get to some of the correspondence that has been going to and fro and where you're at and what you're doing now. And it sounds like you've been tenacious and really hanging on. So in the order I've got them here, the first one I'm looking at is titled Cyclone Gabrielle, Havelock North Flooding. And there's a picture of a house with, you know, floodwaters and debris from trees in front of the house. What's that about?
Well, after the cyclone, the community started a new group. And it's called Friends of the Havelock North Streams. And when we realised that the councils had been so poor with the maintenance of the dams and the streams, we decided that we needed to let the community know, because the both councils were covering up their uselessness. And it was only through a series of eight full-page advertorials in the Hawke's Bay Today, followed by a print-off of 3,000 of each, which we popped into mailboxes in and around Havelock, that the community actually has been made aware of the sort of 20-plus years of what I call inaction, negligence, non-compliance, and mismanagement. So the first one, and by the way, this has cost our group in round figures $20,000. So not a game. It's deadly serious.
Yep.
And the first one was really just introducing the fact that an investigation by the community, with me leading it, was taking place. And it just provided a bit of information about how lax the district council had been, because in the annual Stantec engineering dam safety reviews, they had been told year in and year out that there were multiple problems with the dams and the streams. And they were told as far back as 2016 that the Mangarao Dam was under capacity. That was along with the Karatawhenua and the Hirihiri. These are the three of the five streams that come down from the Havelock Hills. And yet they didn't do anything about it. And they were told again in the 2020 report that it was under capacity and needed to be, the capacity needed to be increased as a priority. And they did nothing. And at the time of the cyclone, the rain was so heavy and the dam was under capacity that it filled up, and then the spillway activated. So a huge tsunami of water and debris bypassed the culvert that the stream comes through from the dam, re-entered the stream and sped down the stream, just a huge amount, causing a huge amount of erosion. And then downstream behind Joe Road in Havelock North, there's a private bridge, and it got blocked first by debris and tree trunks and all sorts of stuff, and then it broke. And once that bridge was broken and blocked, the water from the stream had no, which was a raging torrent, I may say.
Yeah, I can see from the pictures.
Had nowhere to go. Yeah. And so the surrounding street of Joel Road and also Plassey Street became inundated with water. And residents were rescued from chest-high water at about 2 o'clock in the morning. So that was what the first one sort of covered. And also, I had found through the Local Government Official Information Act one of my requests. The council, I presume by mistake, because they would never, ever release a sensitive legal opinion, but there was a legal opinion in amongst the documentation, and that was from 2006. And it was from their solicitor, Mark Van Daddelson, who considered that the Havelock North streams were public drains. And he said that because council and its predecessors had done enough work to control streams, there was an argument of having interfered with them and possibly not done a good job. If someone's property was eroded, etc., council could potentially be sued for not having done something to prevent it.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened. They did nothing. This cyclone that nobody ever envisaged would come came, and the damage and the erosion and the flooding, because of the negligence, was really severe.
Yes, I'm looking at the Stantec report, and it's pages and pages, but in their executive summary, I note, urgent recommendations, this is a quote from their summary, urgent recommendations in this report relate to the safe management of floods and the condition of the throttle pipework. High priority recommendations relate to dam safety management, including emergency preparedness. And then they talk that there are other recommendations. So that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, those Stantec annual dam safety reviews, and every 5 years they did a comprehensive dam safety review. They were excellent documents prepared by experts, and they made innumerable recommendations to improve safety at the dams. And basically, the Hastings District Council turned a blind eye to most of them. And those same safety recommendations just popped up year in and year out.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at another one of these full-page advertisements, but you say they went out as flies. Havelock North flooding fact file, and I note the picture. It's of mud in the street. Obviously, the water's drained away. And people on the side of the road with mountains of furniture and belongings, obviously trashed by the flood. So that's obviously where you've sort of gathered together all the facts in one place so people could kind of go through them.
Yes, that's right. So again, I was given an excellent picture of the day after the flooding, when the waters had receded and people had tossed out all their worldly belongings onto the street.
Yeah.
And that fact file started with me being given historic documents from as far back as 1994, where the regional council was advising residents who had a stream on their property not to build structures like sheds, retaining walls, jetties and fences within 6 metres of the stream without their approval, as they could be washed away and block culverts and drains leading to downstream flooding. And he mentioned that the district council was currently considering work necessary to improve the stability of the stream banks. Well, the fact is that that's exactly, they didn't impose that restriction, and at the time of the cyclone, it was wooden fences, it was wooden sheds, it was concrete retaining walls, it was all sorts of stuff that should not have been allowed to be built within 6 metres of the bank. And that's what fell into the stream, and that's what helped block it.
Yeah. What street is that, or road is that in the picture? Just curious.
That's Joel Road, and okay. In the photograph that you're looking at, excuse me, is the silhouette of the famous sleeping giant at Tomato Peak.
Yeah, I thought I recognised it. All right, moving on. Then there's the advertorial, which is alerting people to the investigation and what it uncovered. So I guess that speaks for itself, and unless there's any other comments you want to make about that before we kind of move on.
No, that just uncovered the substantive evidence exposing over 20 years of inaction, negligence, non-compliance and mismanagement, and weak compliance oversight by the Regional Council, and basically just introduced the Friends of the Havelock North Streams. Yep. And we're just all volunteers, and some of us have been affected by the flooding and some of us have not, but we believe that if it wasn't for the private investigation and our fact-filled advertorials and flyers, the residents and the insurers just would be completely unaware of the council's decades of inaction and mismanagement.
Well, they would have got a shock with this one. Havelock North Dams all non-compliant. Wow.
Yes, well, they've been non-compliant all the time, really, since the year 2000. And there was an article in Stuff in 2011, which somebody sent me. And at that point, the Regional Council appeared to be fed up with the District Council's continual non-compliance. But basically, nothing has changed. So I asked for the compliance, monitoring and compliance notices for the dams after the cyclone. And they took an age to get them to me, but they covered a period from the 1st of January 2021 to the 1st of July 2024. And the Regional Council, which issues the resource consents to the District Council, deemed them all to be non-compliant. And they were non-compliant because the District Council did not carry out or document maintenance recommended in three consecutive annual dam safety reviews from 2019, 2020 and 2022. And believe it or not, the District Council failed to even bother to get an annual dam safety review for 2021. So it was quite extraordinary.
Wow. Okay. And we're just going to have to rattle through the others because of time. So there's the story of devastation on Joel Road. No emergency action plans for the dams, the Havelock North dams. Surely there would have to be action plans in place for emergencies. Common sense. It's the first thing you'd do, isn't it?
Yes, well, there wasn't. And I was absolutely shocked to find out that they were first told in 2007 that the council was told that it needed to prepare a dam safety assurance program, including an emergency action plan for each of the five Havelock North detention dams. And this was repeated again and again, and yet over the years. And yet last August, when I asked for a copy, the council advised there is no Mangorah emergency action plan. So I was absolutely flabbergasted to read that. And of course, on the night of the flooding, it was just everybody just had to fend for themselves.
Yeah.
There was just no council leadership. And the question I asked in that advertorial was, why did it take 17 years and an environmental disaster to stir the council into action? Because now they are now in the process of drafting emergency action plans.
Incredibly lax. And then you're talking about the non-compliant dams again, and then you're asking in the last one for Hawke's Bay councils to fess up. How's that going?
Well, met by silence, I may say. But what was so disgraceful about the dam disgrace one was that once they were deemed non-compliant, the District Council took issue with the Regional Council, and their stormwater manager wrote to the Regional Council stating, HDC disagrees and disputes the current compliance grade given to all the governed HDC stormwater dams of moderate non-compliance, and he asked that they be reissued with a compliant rating. Well, I'm very pleased to say that the Regional Council Group Manager Policy and Regulation, Katrina Brunton, basically told him where to go, because she repeated that they were non-compliant because of the reasons I just told you. They didn't do any work. And that they wouldn't be reissuing the reports or amending the compliance grades given. So they didn't get anywhere with that.
So that was from the regional council officer to the district, to just clarify who that letter was from and to again?
So the regional council deemed all the dams non-compliant, and then they got a letter from the district council stormwater manager disputing that. And the regional council stood their ground and said no, they remain non-compliant for the reasons already discussed.
Okay, now I'm looking at a set of exchange of correspondence.
All right.
Yeah, and I just want to get some comments on that. Email trail where you asked HDC's chief executive, Nigel Bickle, questions in a formal complaint. And you say he provided untruthful answers. Can you quickly give us a bit of an overview of that?
Yes. Well, when I put a complaint down to the Office of the Ombudsman, I was told that before they could assess it, I had to put a formal complaint into the chief executive.
Right.
And I asked him a few questions, and the answers he gave back were just preposterous, and we've probably just got time for one. So I had asked, why did you not arrange for work to be carried out to make the dams and stream outlets safe? And his answer was, the council did do so. Well, you've just heard that the regional council deemed the dams non-compliant because the work hadn't been done. So it was just, you know, it was contradicted by facts.
Yeah, that's not a good position to be in if you're contradicted by actual facts. And all this that you've been taking on, what do you think's going on here? Is it just lackadaisical, minimum effort or no effort, as it seems, and then backside covering? How do we explain this? Because they're all on salaries. They're all getting paid, you know?
They get a massive salaries, hundreds of thousands of dollars for the chief executive, all paid for by ratepayers who they're shafting. And I think that the main thing for the reason for all the denials is that they're trying to avoid liability.
Right. Okay. So that means that they're sort of running scared a bit, you know, because they do.
Absolutely. Could I just make one point about the non-compliant dams? I went back to the regional council and I asked why were the dams, the monitoring and compliance, why did it cover 3 years as opposed to annual? Because they knew that the district council were neglecting them and that there were innumerable recommendations that hadn't been done. And the answer was, due to resourcing limitations, the compliance team was not able to monitor these consents on an annual basis over this period. Well, I would say, why on earth did they not prioritize the safety of the dams when they knew there were 600 people living below them and the district council were being negligent about them? So it's both councils are at fault, in my view.
Gosh. Now, what do you expect to happen with the ombudsman? What's your feeling there?
Well, it is on, the complaint is underway. There's a lot of evidence that I've provided, and my understanding is that they have gone back to the council to get information from them, and then at that point they will contact me to tell me how they are going to proceed. That's where it's at. It's a very slow process.
Yeah, well, they're under-resourced too, we hear. everyone,
yes.
It seems, is conveniently under-resourced. I'm not saying that that's, a willful thing, but it does seem to slow things down. Are the same people still in the positions, Jessica?
In the councils?
Yep.
Yes. Nigel Bickle took over the chief executive role in 2019. And in that, those last 4 years, the incompetence with the streams and the dams has just been simply unbelievable. And when I asked the council shortly after the cyclone to commission a review into their historic management of the dams and streams, he flatly refused. And no wonder.
Yeah. And what about the current status? Is there still material that can be, again, washed downstream or into, I don't know, wherever it gathers and blocks? Is that still a possibility? Could that still happen if there's another? It might not even need to be as bad as Gabrielle, but just a, you know, huge rainfall. What's the status at the moment?
Absolutely. Well, if you look at that full-page advertisement that says negligence continues, I had a photograph of about an 8 feet high cut tree trunk that was just above water level. And I said that it was extraordinary because in February, they had a crane on site and a digger actually beside that tree trunk shifting a collapsed concrete wall, but they left it in situ. And I said that it was ready to be eroded and swept downstream. And just this morning, after the rain that we've had last night, it's teetering like a loose tooth on the bank. And, you know, it's just, it's something that should not have happened. It should have been removed in February. And the council was told in March about it, and both councils, and again, it was just ignored. And now that's hanging on by a thread. And if we've got more heavy rain tonight, that'll be going downstream like a battering ram to knock out a temporary sewer pipe across the stream lower down or whatever. It should have been removed in February. And the truth of the matter is the council just doesn't learn. They're very stubborn.
Yeah, sounds like it. But what an effort from you. Wow. Well, thanks for giving us an update on that. It sounds like you've been so hard at work. And I think you've done things at really a high level of quality. I'm not surprised that, you know, those advertorials that we've been describing, that people in the Hawke's Bay would have seen, I'm sure, are very well presented. So I'm sure it would have got attention. We're going to be interested to hear what you hear back from the Ombudsman, though we might have to wait a while. What have locals been saying to you, Jessica? Are they right behind you? Are they supporting you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. If it hadn't been for our group getting together, with me gathering most of the information and getting those advertorials in, the councils they were just not issuing anything other than untruthful information, even going back to the time of the cyclone when I put in the paper that this was a foreseeable blockage and flooding. The council statement was that they disagreed with the letter writer and denied that negligence contributed to the flooding of people's homes. And that got my back up, and that's what started the investigation, which actually showed that it had everything to do with the erosion and flooding. Everything.
Watch out, Jessica Maxwell's coming at you. Get ready. All right. Thank you for updating us, Jessica, and for the work you do. It's good to see, you know, someone with a, I don't know, what's the word?
Well, somebody said to me just the other day, you're like the little engine that could.
Ah, that's a good
one.
And
I had to look up, and it's an American folk tale or something.
All right, Jessica. We'll keep in touch. Let us know what happens next. And like I say, folks, you know, we've been following this. We'll talk again, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.